Thank you, brothers and sisters in Christ, for having me. I always forget how tall I am. For having me here, for taking the time to focus on a much-needed outreach into your own community and the community of the world, to the deaf community. I won't be signing now because there's no one that would benefit. Well, I mean, you would benefit, but only because it looks beautiful. So, I appreciate you inviting us here. My congregation, who is all deaf, they thank you for your focus on the deaf community. And let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, you have sent your Holy Spirit into our lives to give us new life. We know that when we follow our flesh, we receive nothing but death. Lord, send your Holy Spirit continually through our baptism, that we might receive that life and live by the law of the Spirit. In all times and in all places, we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Those are comforting words that we can take home today. But they seem strange to us because when we hear law, we hear Ten Commandments, right? All right, let's all remember, you shall not have any other gods, and we think the whole list, right? But Paul already said in Romans chapter 7, that's not it, because the law is holy. So clearly, Paul is not now telling us, well, don't pay attention to the law. No, he's talking about two different laws, and he sets them up quite plainly. It is the law of the Spirit and the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is what has always produced in you those horrible thoughts and deeds and actions. You know what death is like because you've been sick in your life at one point or other. And sickness is nothing more than a symptom of what will happen at the end of it all, your body in the ground. That is the law of sin and death. But then there's the law of the Spirit. This law overcomes the law of sin and death. And it is a law because it is the way things are, the way things must be when it comes to the body and when it comes to the Spirit. So Paul explains, what is this law of the Spirit? He says it this way. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is a sad reality for us because we don't get to do anything. Listen closely. It says, for God has done what the law could not. Because the law of flesh is me wanting to do it all. I want to claim the prize. I want to do the good works. I want. And what happens when we do that? Romans 7, which is right before, is clear. When I heard the law not to covet, you know what I did? I coveted. That's what my body does when it hears the law. But Paul makes it clear, it's not the law that's evil and wrong, it's me. Because when I hear holy things, I know that I'm a sinner because I want to do everything against them. That's why it says it's weakened by the flesh. Because our flesh has nothing good in it. This is the sad reality of Adam. It's why Paul takes so much time to say, through that one man came sin, and through sin, death. And even in chapter 2, no one is righteous. No, not one. So where does our life come from? God must do it. This is the law of the Spirit. It must happen this way, that Jesus came and took on flesh. Not because He needed to, but because you needed Him to. These are the things that are needful in the Christian life. And we also know this law of the Spirit as Lutherans in our small catechism. I believe in the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. This is the law of the Spirit, and you know it well, because it's what happened to you, and it's why you're here. But Paul goes on. He says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." So we see that when we focus on ourselves, on what we can do, on what's next for us, on our visions, our dreams, the result is nothing but death. It's not about you. It's about Jesus and what He's done for you. This is why the law of the Spirit brings life and peace. That little word, peace, we always forget that there was a war. And it wasn't a war that happened outside of you. It's a war that's in you. Because you're sinful and you are at war with God. Every moment that your sinful flesh clings to you. That's why Paul is so clear in the chapter right before. He says, "Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Thank God, my Lord Jesus Christ. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." It doesn't matter how good the works look. It doesn't matter how good the person seems. Without Christ, all the things we have to offer are trash. They are nothing. They are death. Because it requires something more than you can offer, more than our efforts. We can't come to God on our own. When you do, you die. Because the requirement is a law that you must be perfect in every thought, every word, every action. And if you mess up one time, Paul says it, if you've broken one, you've broken them all. From birth to death. But that's not the end. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's a scary thought for us. And it's a thought that Paul again and again tries to put to rest. The question is, how do you get the Spirit? Right? Okay, I get it. The Spirit does it. He does all the work. I don't know any of it. Fine. What now? Right? Now the gospel. Because that's what Paul says. In Romans 1, he makes it clear. He says, "I am the power of God." No, he says the gospel is the power of God for salvation to all who believe, for He has revealed this from faith for faith. You see, God provides the very thing you need to believe, that is, faith. The gospel is powerful to give you that faith. And now you simply confess, "I believe." All who confess have the Holy Spirit. So, we also see that Paul bases it on the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Now, we hear pouring out. Sometimes we distance this from our real life. What pours out? Water, right? Paul makes this clear in Romans 6. "We were buried, therefore, by baptism into the death of Christ, in order that just as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. That's the Spirit, and that's where he is, in you, in me. He doesn't make it a question mark. That's why Christ at the very end says, go, baptize, and proclaim all the things that I have told you. Because that's your salvation. That's your life. It's not in you. It's in the Spirit that's given to you. In order to keep receiving it, you must continue to hear the gospel of power, Christ, shed his blood on that cross to die for you. Only the Holy Spirit can give you those gifts. And you can only find him where Christ has promised. In his word, in his water, in his bread, in his wine. And so, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the final hope. The hope that death is not the end. The hope that there's something more to this life than getting old and getting sick, getting dementia, dying, forgetting everything, and being forgotten. That's not the end. No more. No, now you have a Spirit that gives you life. And you know exactly where to find him. In the gospel. In your own baptism. Who you've already received. Yes, you do have that Spirit. So may he continue to work in you powerfully, to confess your sins, and to live as a child of God. In Jesus' name.